Well, hope you guys are doing well this morning. We're talking about prayer, and want to just let you know, you kind of came in not on a sermon today, but kind of into a prayer meeting today, because figured that if we were going to talk about prayer, maybe we should do it. Yeah, I don't know, just one of those things. So as a coach, right, this is going to be kind of like prayer practice, right? Like I want to teach you something, and then we're going to put it into practice so that when we get out into the game out there, we'll be ready to go, okay? So it's going to be a little different than normal, but that's okay. You guys are game. You're willing to try almost anything, so I love you guys for that. I've been thinking about prayer, and it's been reflecting on what God is calling us to do through prayer. This verse from Psalm 145, verse 18, just keeps coming forth. I think it's because we've been in the Psalms all summer long, right? But it basically is calling about this, that the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call upon him in truth. And so I'm just trying to memorize that this week and put it in my heart and my mind, and that the Lord is near to us. And oftentimes from here I'll say, do you believe that, church? Meaning, is this something that you truly believe and want to live your life based upon? Is this a truth statement? Do we feel like the Lord is near to us when we call on him in truth? And so we're going to spend today talking about what sort of attitude do we need to have as believers in Christ. Now, some of y'all out there go, attitude? I got attitude, all right? And we know, all right? We know, because attitude is what you believe as it plays out upon your behavior. And so what we want to do is create some beliefs in our heart and our mind that are going to play out in the form of prayer for our lives. So these are some attitudes we have to have. We're actually not going to get into the Lord's Prayer today. Next week, P-Rob is going to be back. He's here today from his sabbatical, and he's going to be preaching through each line by line. Today, we're going to talk about the attitudes we need to have to get ourselves ready. And here's the first one, thanksgiving. Do you have an attitude of thanksgiving when you go before the Lord? We see this all throughout Scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18, be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, right? So we're supposed to have joy, this beautiful mixture of joy and prayer and thanksgiving, right? We see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 2, it talks about continue steadfast in prayer, being watchful with thanksgiving. Like, are we thankful for what the Lord has done for us? And it goes back to, well, what is thankfulness, right? It's this appreciation. It's this return of kindness to the Lord, that we recognize him as our Lord and our God, and we recognize all that he has given to us. And so what I want you to do is, in your seats where you are, just to pray silently. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. And I want you to just thank the Lord. Even if you're in a dark place or a hard place, there's something that we can find to be thankful for. And so we want to start our time together with just praying. So I'm going to give you a few minutes to pray silently to yourself, and then we're going to keep going. I'm so thankful for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for enduring the cross for my sake, for our sake. Lord, I'm so thankful for the fruit of the Spirit, for love and joy and peace and patience, for all the things, Lord, that are the benefits of your Spirit, that we can love one another well, that we can have peace and joy. Lord, I'm thankful for this church that wants to hold your word high, that wants to glorify your name. Lord, I'm thankful for each person in this room. I'm thankful for the cries of babies that exclaim life. I'm thankful for all the ways, Lord, you bring joy into our life. Teach us more about you today from your word. We pray this in your name. Amen. So our first attitude has to be an attitude of thanksgiving. The second attitude in prayer is humility. And we see this here in what Paul read to us earlier, starting in verse 1. He says, beware. Beware of practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them. So be careful, Christians, in practicing your life and your righteousness before everybody else, putting it on display. Be careful, because when you receive the praise of men, you receive your reward in full. Do we want rewards from the Lord here in this temporary place, or do we want rewards that are eternal? And this is a shift in our mind that we have to begin to get, because he's saying, beware of practicing your righteousness before others. And there's so many ways to practice it before others. On social media, on the stage, on out in the world, on the street corner, there's all these places that you can practice righteousness to try to get the notice of other people, yet God has called us to be humble. For you will have no reward from your Father who is in heaven. Thus, verse 2, when you give to the needy, sound no trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may be praised by others. Truly I say to you, they have received their reward. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that in your giving you may be in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And you might be like, that's our church. Half of you don't even know where the offering boxes are. They're hidden somewhere from you. We have no idea as pastors what people give in our church, and we love it. You might be wondering, why don't we put on social media all the things we're doing out in the community? Because we don't have an audience of the world. We have an audience of one. Our goal and our purpose is to glorify the Lord, not to glorify this church, not to glorify people in this church. Our goal is to glorify the Lord, and we want the results of the Lord. And you guys are amazing. You guys give, and you guys love the people in this church, and you give to the people in this church when they're in need. Keep doing it. And we're like, nobody notices. Good. And that's the point of this, is that the Lord will be the one that rewards you. Would we rather be rewarded by the people around us by giving us a gift card, or by having the love of the Lord and the joy of the Lord and the peace of the Lord in times of trouble? I'd rather have those other things. I'd rather have the peace of the Lord in a world that is going crazy and be able to trust in Him beyond trusting my own ability to navigate the craziness out there. And so that's what we trust in Him. And then He says this in verse 5, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites. Now, the word has come up a lot, hasn't it, in this little passage. Don't be a hypocrite. Now, this word hypocrite is really interesting. It's a transliteration from the Greek. In other words, you might remember us talking about this last week, where they just take a word from the Greek and they just write it in English and try to say it. So this is the same word in the, it's hypocrite, so there's a cool way to say it, but that wasn't how. But there's a Greek way to say it, and now we just say hypocrite. So how do we define hypocrites? Well, in the Greek language, here's how you define the word hypocrite. An actor that is assuming a character. Okay, so think about that. And when your definition of hypocrite, it's an actor who's assuming the character of someone else. They're pretending to be someone else. And what is an actor's job? To entertain, to get the praise of the audience. At the end of the story, they want everyone to clap and enjoy, right? And that's an actor's looking for the praise of men. Now, in Greek, there's actually a biblical Greek called Koine Greek, and in that, it actually uses the word pretender. Have you thought of hypocrites as being pretenders? Like, in a certain group of people, they pretend to be one thing, but when they're by themselves, they're something different. Now you see what the Lord is saying. You give in secret because that's who you really are. When you're all alone in that quiet place, where your thoughts run to and where your heart runs to and your affections run to, that's who you really are. Is that person in secret the same person that is out in the world? Because in English, we define the word hypocrite as being someone who contradicts who they state themselves to be, right? Like, if I state I am a believer in Jesus Christ, that you expect me to act in a certain way according to this book, according to the truth. If I claim to be a follower of Christ and yet I live with the pleasures of the world and chase after the things of the world, then I would be called a hypocrite because I'm not being who I said that I am. And so this is just a challenge to us. Are we legit? Too legit to quit, right? Right, so are we legit in who we say we are? You know, one of the keys to prayer is we can't lie to God, but we try. We try to pretend like this wasn't really the thought that I had instead of being authentic. See, the difference in believers in Jesus Christ is we are authentic. What we say, we believe. We let our yes be yes and our no be no. And who we are in Christ is all the way through, whether in public, whether in private. Now, I know this is a little invasive. Have you ever asked God, Lord, am I a hypocrite? Now, be careful. You may not want to ask your friend. Right? I might want to go, hey, Ray, am I a hypocrite? He'd be like, yep. And just, here's a list. Right? He might bring it down. So be careful before you ask that of somebody else, because believe it or not, you're not a very good judge of whether you're a hypocrite. You're just not, right? Because the pride gets in the way where you can't really see the mirror, right? And so what if we ask the Lord, though? And then what if the Lord says, yes, you are a hypocrite? Yes, you choose to do things that aren't of me. Yes, you have these thoughts. Are we willing to repent and turn from those ways and say, no, I want to be more like Christ. Lord, help me in that. So, key word here, silently, I want you to pray to yourself. And I want you to see if maybe you'll be bold and ask the Lord, Lord, am I a hypocrite? Is there some area that I pretend, that some area that I'm acting in? And ask the Lord to convict us of that. And if he says yes, let's repent of that. Here's the beautiful thing. When we repent, what does God do with that sin? He's already paid for it. It's gone, right? So we get to walk new. We get to walk free. We can remake our image because we're going to make it to be like Christ. And so if you can bow your heads, we're just going to pray silently. And let's ask the Lord this question. Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. I'm sorry for the times that I have pretended or that I have assumed a role instead of trusting in you. Lord, I just ask for your forgiveness for those times. Lord, forgive me for the times that I've been purposely distracted by the things of this world instead of pressing into you. Lord, I'm just so thankful for your son, Jesus, that we're not stuck in this hypocrisy, we're not stuck in who we are, but Lord, you are making us new, that you are day by day conforming us to the likeness of Jesus. So let us thank you for that hope that we have. We just sang, Lord, you keep hope alive. I pray that we can hope in God and trust in you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us, that your word says, while we're still sinners, you died for us. Lord, thank you for loving us in your name. Amen. You know, in this passage, it starts to describe these people that are the actors or the pretenders, right? And here's what he says here. We'll start back in verse 5. It says, and when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners that they may be seen by others. Truly, I say to you, they have received their reward. in full. And it makes me think to Luke 18. Remember where Jesus told that parable about the tax collector and the Pharisee? And the Pharisee is like, Lord, I thank you so much. I'm not like that guy. I'm so thankful I'm not like Ryan. All right, make it personal. Think about this. What if you're Ryan on the front row? He just had some tasty licks on the guitar up here playing the worship band. Lord, thank you that I'm not like Ryan. He's eating microgreens all the time. He's always, and me just airing out all of his problems. You see how the focus is on him, not on me. The focus is on him, not on the Lord. You see, we have to humble ourselves and not think of ourselves more highly than we ought to think. Because when we think of ourselves more highly, we almost become God and we begin to pray to ourselves instead of praying to the Lord God Almighty. Thank you, Ryan, for being that example. Front row. That's why no one else sits on the front row. Okay. That wasn't encouraging, then move forward. It's okay. But anyway, so in Luke 18, there's another story that I think is very interesting. It's the story of the persistent widow. And in that story in Luke 18, Jesus actually tells us that it's about prayer. Right, he says it right here in verse 1 of chapter 18. He says, and he told them a parable to the effect that they ought to always pray and never lose heart. Here's a third attitude that we have to have, right? We're thankful, we're humble, and we're persistent. That we have to be persistent, continuing to go back and back to the Lord. And he tells them a parable of this widow who just won't leave this poor judge guy alone. Like, this judge is not even a good person, but she just keeps coming back. She's waiting at the back door. She's waiting at the front door. She's waiting at his house. She's waiting everywhere. And he's finally like, fine, here, you can have justice. He's like, how much better is God than this unrighteous judge? That if we continually go back to him over and over and over again, he will answer us. Now listen, you have to be persistent over a long period of time. Think about Abraham. You remember when God promised Abraham and Sarah that they were going to have a baby? In 25 years? He left out that part? That's a long time to trust in the promise of God. You see, we live in a society that wants to do this. Poo, prayer genie, right? Pops up Robin Williams style from the cartoon style. Boom, pops up. You have three prayer answers, like three trump cards to get whatever you want. Do you know in your mind, you probably already know what you would pray if you only had three prayers that God would for sure answer. Don't you? Would any of them be like lunch for free? Or would they be big things? But see, the problem is you don't know what your future holds. So we have to trust him. We can't just like, I got three things I want right now. Boom, boom, boom. What happens if we don't know our future? What does our future hold? So we trust him. We come and we pray and we ask and praise the Lord. He doesn't say, hey, you got three. He's continually saying, hey, you can pray to me in faith. That's our fourth attitude. Do we trust God? Do we pray expectantly that God is going to move? You know what? You know what? We just don't pray, do we? Like, let me ask you this question. How many of you, don't raise your hand, just think around, how many of y'all are scared to pray in public? Like, if we had a prayer time and I just started pointing out people to pray, you would be horrified. Be like, oh, I'm out of here, right? Or you're that with those students in class where they don't look at the teacher. You don't know the answer, like, all right, who has the answer number four? And they're like, as a teacher, you always know. You always know who doesn't know the answer, right? But so many times we're scared to pray in public because we feel like we're going to do it wrong because we put too much emphasis on the words. Look what it says here in Matthew chapter 6. It says, when you pray, right, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you. You go practice, right? But then he says, and when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask for them. See, it's not about the words that you pray. God knows. God knows what you're asking for. It's not about how much and how well you pray. It's about how often you pray. Let me give you an example. Have you ever thought of God as your friend? What it means to have a friend, right? So let's say Troy was my friend, okay? Troy is my friend, okay? Troy is my friend, right? If I only called Troy when I needed something, like, hey, Troy, can you come over? Like, I really need you to do this. Hey, Troy, can you come over? I really need this. Hey, Troy, can you meet me here? I need you to help me move. Hey, Troy, is that friendship? Or is that servanthood? Or is that like friendship with strings attached to it? Is that how we treat God? When we pray, are we having a conversation with him? Because Jesus doesn't see us as a servant. He says that in John 15, verse 15. He says, I no longer see you as servants, like you don't know the whole plan. Like, I see you as a friend. So prayer is that conversation that we have with the Lord. Hey, Troy, how's it going? How's Misty doing? Oh, yeah, how are the kids? How many you got now? Right, and just having that conversation, talking through life together, and we're just having a conversation. And if he has he needs something, I'm there for him. If I need something, he's there for me. You know, this weekend we had our path group leaders here, which I just encourage you to get involved in a path group here in the fall. And Paul was heading that up, and he asked me if I would talk about when to walk away. When was it a good idea to step away from toxic people, which is an interesting topic. And so he had asked me to read a book. Did I read that book because Paul told me to? Or did I read that book because he's my friend? And I wanted to have a relationship with him, wanted to have conversations with him. When I came early to help him set up, was it because I didn't want him to fail, or was it because I love Paul? I wanted Paul to succeed, and there's a friendship there. We have to be the same way with God, that we want to be friends with God, that we talk to him, and then we listen. And then we think about what was said, and then we talk to him, and then we listen. And many of you can say, well, God doesn't talk back to me. Sent you a text message. Maybe read some of that, right? Just saying, like, we have this book we can go to, and it is amazing when you read the scripture, and it's like, wow, I've read that verse 100 times, but it meant something different today because I was praying for this. Or I was asking for this, and we have a conversation. This is what it means to pray continually, is that Christ is consistently on our mind as we're walking through the day. We're like, man, I want to pray for them, and I'm praying for them. Lord, thanks for this. Thanks for that. Ooh, Lord, keep me humble. Yes, I saw a lot of pride in that. And we just walk through life together with him like he is our friend. That's what I want to encourage you, to see the Lord as your friend. Now, some of you are sitting by your friends and spouses and loved ones and others. Here's what I want to encourage you to do. I'm going to give you some time to pray out loud with your friends, with the people that are next to you. And some of you maybe haven't prayed out loud ever before. It's okay. This is a safe place to do that, okay? To pray together, to pray out loud. Because again, does God care about our words? Well, I mean, he likes our words, but the Lord knows your heart. And so I'm going to give you some time to pray with the people around you, and then I'll close this out. So if you're alone here by yourself, just turn around and meet somebody for the first time. Hi, how are you? Can we pray? All right, we're all part of the same body of Christ. And let's just pray together. Lord Jesus, I thank you that we don't have to run this race alone. Lord, you've given us people to spur us on and to encourage us to walk in a manner worthy of the calling of Christ with us. Lord, I pray that our words will be encouraging for building others up. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to be bold in you and to approach the throne of grace with confidence, Lord, expecting that you're going to move. So, Lord, I thank you for that. In your name we pray. Amen. If we want to be the church that God wants us to be, this has to be a house of prayer. And that's what we're doing here today. If you want to be the person that God wants you to be, you have to be a person of prayer. Why? Because our goal is to be like Christ, right? So we have to pray in pursuit of Christ. If we were following Christ around, we would be praying. Because Christ had a habit of escaping from the crowd, right? Like Luke 5, verse 16 talks about him escaping, going to a desolate place to pray. That Jesus made prayer a major pillar of his walk and of his life, and he taught other people how to pray. And I think sometimes we miss it because the stories are so incredible. In fact, when you look at the story of the Transfiguration, right, and Jesus taking off this flesh and like, oh, showing up, or Moses and Elijah, and this incredible story, do you realize why they went up onto the mountain? Why did he take Peter and James and John along with them? They went to the mountaintop to pray, right? He took them there to pray, and as a result of their communion with the Lord and their prayer to the Lord, Jesus showed him his true self in that. And if we want to be like Christ, we have to step away. Sometimes that means we have to get up early. What better way to lose sleep than having friend time with Jesus through prayer? Sometimes we have to stay up late. Sometimes we have to be like, hey guys, I'll be right back. And we got to step away and find that place that is safe for us to pray and be in communion with Christ. If we want to be like Christ, we have to be people that pray. We see that constantly throughout Scripture. And one of the things that Jesus does when he prays is this: not my will, but your will. And so when we step away to pray, it helps us take away our agenda and put it on the shelf and to pick up the agenda of the Lord, which, by the way, the agenda of the Lord is better than your agenda. You may not be there yet. We're still on the journey, right? We still haven't got our rewards because our rewards are eternal. They're in the future, and we hold out hope in the Lord for the future, and we endure the things that we do here because there is a future hope for us in heaven that we get to be like Christ. And so prayer puts us in a position to say, not my will, but your will be done. And we know that's from the prayer in Gethsemane when Christ, before the cross, Lord, if there's any other way, but not my will, your will be done. Are we ready to pray that kind of bold prayer? Say, not my will, but your will be done. And so many times we read the Bible and we think, how does this Bible apply to my life? No better way than this story. And so I want to give you a chance just to pray again before we close out. But before we do that, I want you to turn to a passage in James. Because this passage is so the stark opposite of how we should pray. It gives us another warning in the book of James, chapter 4, in verse 1. Where are you? Where are you, James? Sticking together. There you are. James 4, verse 1. See if this doesn't describe the kind of world that we live in today. It says, what causes quarrels and fights among you? Is it not this, that your passions are at war within you? And this is the story of our lives. The passions of our life are at war with the passions of God. One is our will, one is his will. You desire and you do not have, so you murder. We see this in our world. People desire this position in order to get it. They murder the reputation of this other person They try to knock them down to our level so we can feel better about ourselves. That's pride, not humility. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and quarrel. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly to spend it on your passions. Oh, you adulterous people. Let's not be these people that we only pray in order to receive something that's going to feed our own passions and our own desires. Why would God say yes to us when those things are going to pull us away from Him? We know this as parents. Our kids may love to play in the street. They love it out there. They can cook food on the street. It's so hot out there. But we don't let our kids play in the street. We say no because we know that's not good for them. The Lord knows better. And He says this, "Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God." Let's detach from our friendship with the world, and let's be friends with Jesus. So I want to give you some time to pray with the people that are around you. Some of them are your friends, maybe some of them aren't your friends. I want to give you a chance to pray for our world. Pray for the world that we live in. Pray for our kids as they go back to school in the fall. Pray for your job. I want to give you some time just to pray with the people that are around you. It's okay if you move, because we're going to sing right after this, so if you can always move back. But I want to encourage you to pray. Maybe you don't know the people. It's okay. But just a chance to pray for our world that we live in, and then we're going to close out with just a song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." So if you could bow your heads, Lord, I pray it would give us a sweet time of prayer with one another right now. Lord, we're thankful. Thankful for the opportunity we have to pray to You. Lord, keep us humble. Help us to recognize the times we fall short, Lord, and bring them to the foot of the cross. Thank You for taking those sins from us and for loving us. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to be persistent and to pray in faith, expectant of You doing mighty works, Lord, that we can give You all the praise. And Lord, I pray most of all that You'll make us like Your Son, Jesus. That's our ultimate goal, to be like Him. He was a man of prayer. So Lord, help us to be a man of prayer. Lord, I thank you for the incredible honor it is to be called your friend. What an incredible gift. Help us to walk side by side with you. Help us to be in constant communication with you. What an incredible gift prayer is to us. And Lord, thank you for teaching us how to pray. We love you, Lord Jesus. Amen.